Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man.
Welcome to the first Sunday of Advent. So, how did you get on with that Bible reading? Thank you, Julie, for reading to us. Be honest, was that what you were expecting for the first Sunday in Advent? Or did you think you'd hear something about the birth of Jesus? Something a bit softer and more gentle, maybe, a baby in a manger. As Amanda has said, and many of you know, I'm doing my reader training, and this talk, I can't bring myself to say sermon, is the first of my assessed, okay, sermons. When I heard that I was to preach on the first Sunday of Advent, I thought, great, won't it be lovely? Full of joy and hope, looking forward to the birth of Jesus. So when I read this scripture that I was set to speak about, I gulped very deeply. So did Rev Manda. I really didn't have a clue where to start. But let me offer some explanation. A lot of churches, not only Anglicans, I believe, follow the common lectionary for their scripture readings throughout the year. At St. Mary's, we choose to follow a combination of the lectionary and set sermon series. And taking into consideration, I've only returned to the Anglican Church in the last 3 years. If I had been a traditional Anglican and had spent the last 20 years listening to the Advent readings from the lectionary every year, then these verses would not have been such a shock to me. I bet they weren't to Mel. I would have heard them each year in 3 yearly cycles from Matthew, Mark, and Luke in turn. And what is more, I would have heard 20 sermons on these verses and would stand here this morning with a distinct advantage. But here I am, and I'll do my best to bring some enlightenment to you about these verses and about the meaning of Advent. Let us look at this passage from Luke's Gospel. Here we have Jesus and some of his followers and disciples. To put it in context, they have been in the temple where Jesus had been under fire from various teachers of the law. After which, the disciples began to talk about the temple and how beautiful it was with all its adornments. Then Jesus began to tell them about the days to come and predicted the destruction of the temple by the Romans, which happened in AD 70. Not stopping there, Jesus went on to tell his disciples about more future events. And this is where our reading comes in. Jesus spoke of signs in the skies and the seas, signs on the earth. And then in verse 27, he says, "And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Lift your heads," he said, "for your redemption is drawing near." Now, I'm sure that a number of us here can look at the state the world is in today, the horrors of warfare, famine, climate change, and maybe you talk of the end times. Is everything that is currently happening a sign? But a sign to what? There is a difference of opinion amongst theologians and Bible scholars about what Jesus was talking about when he spoke of the Son of Man coming in the clouds. And maybe there are more than one interpretation of this verse. But today, I'm setting on this being a prediction of the second coming of Jesus, the day of the fullness of our redemption, when mortality is swallowed up in immortality. I have to say that again. When mortality is swallowed up in immortality, come, Lord Jesus. Verse 28 tells us to straighten up and raise our heads because our redemption is drawing near. In the midst of all the doom and gloom, Jesus speaks of the promise of redemption and hope on the horizon. So should we be looking for signs? Now, I think that every generation that has ever lived has had numerous signs. And we hear of people predicting the day when the world will end or when Jesus will come on the clouds. But none of those predictions have been fulfilled. As yet, it hasn't happened. And I don't think it's for us to be searching the signs in order to predict the date. The one thing we do know, and it's very clear in Scripture, is that we don't know. Like a thief in the night, he will come, and we know not the day or the hour. But I do think we can use the signs to remind us that Jesus will return one day. And we need to live in readiness of that day. Amanda was talking about Advent being a preparation. And these signs tell us to prepare our hearts. Our reading encourages us not to be weighed down by cares and to live prayerfully. So when we look at all the awfulness in our world, rather than bringing despair, which is so easy, may these signs turn our hearts towards Jesus in preparation of his coming. Now, you may be wondering where this scripture fits into Advent. Good old Wikipedia says the season of Advent is in the Christian calendar anticipates the coming of Christ from three different perspectives: the physical nativity in Bethlehem, the reception of Christ in the heart of the believer, and the eschatological second coming. That's a good word, isn't it? The eschatological. Okay. Just means referring to the end times and the judgment that comes. I love that, the three comings of Christ. And my question is, which of these three comings have you welcomed and ushered in? Many people will accept Jesus as the infant in a manger in the Christmas story. It's easy to relate to the baby and the shepherds and to enjoy singing the carols. And I expect most people here this morning will be okay with welcoming the incarnation, that is, welcoming God in human form. And perhaps we expected today's Bible reading to be about that. Then what about the second of these three comings, the welcoming of Jesus as your Saviour, the one who can forgive your sins and heal your broken heart, the one who brings new birth and new life? Have you welcomed that coming of Christ? Have you answered the knocking on the door of your heart and welcomed him in? And now we come to our Bible passage as we consider the third of these comings, the second coming of Christ. Sorry to confuse you with the third and the second comings, but, you know, we're on the third of Wikipedia's comings, but we're on the second coming of Christ. The coming of the Son of Man in a cloud with power and glory. Do you welcome the second coming? How can I, you might ask? It hasn't happened yet. You can welcome the second coming of Christ by living in preparation for that coming. What are your thoughts about the second coming? Do you think about it much? Last week, we gustily and rightly sang in the final verse of O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation to take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And when we say the creed, which we will be doing shortly, we will confess our belief that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. So, the second coming of Christ. You may have received Jesus as your Saviour, but do you live each day intentionally walking before God that life of preparation, seeking to live his will for your life, living out your faith, eagerly pressing forward for the coming of his kingdom and the fullness of your redemption? That mortality swallowed up by immortality. Are you ready for Christ to come again? So as I draw to a close, let me encourage you to consider these three comings of Advent. The coming of Christ as a baby in Bethlehem, his birth within our hearts as Saviour and Lord, and the second coming of Jesus. Take a moment to just consider where you sit with each of these comings. Do you just worship him as a baby at Christmas? Have you welcomed him as Lord and Saviour? And do you live in readiness and preparation for his appearing in the cloud? If you feel unsure about any of these comings or how they apply to you or whether you've responded to them, then do feel free to talk to someone. There'll be prayer available at the back later. Let this be a day when God touches your heart in a real way. I'm just going to pray. Lord, how exciting it is to think of the three comings. The coming of you as that babe, the coming of you in our own hearts as Saviour, and that anticipated second coming. Lord, may we be those who each live with hearts of preparation and anticipation of that second coming as we live in the experience of those first two comings. In Jesus' name, I pray.